But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I've warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. For if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Bill. We have been preaching through the book of Galatians verse by verse. That's our normal practice here at Proclamation, expository preaching through books of the Bible, and we only have a few weeks left here before we finish Galatians and, Lord willing, return to our study of the book of Genesis. If you were here last week, you had the privilege of hearing Andy's excellent sermon on this same passage, and so some of you may be asking, wait a minute, didn't we already cover this section? Why are we looking at it again? And I want to be clear, it's not because I think that I can improve on Andy's sermon in any way. Not at all. Andy did a great job of covering this entire section, giving us both a broad overview, the big picture of what Paul is communicating to us, as well as bringing out some of the important details of this passage. He showed us from this passage that we are in a war, a battle, the desires of the flesh and the works of the flesh fighting against the desires of the Spirit within us. And right now, this war, this battle is going on in every follower of Jesus between the Spirit and the flesh. We can picture it for a moment. If you think that over here, if this here would represent that moment in time when you came to know Christ, when you received the Spirit of Christ, when you were made alive, when you became a Christian. And then over here, if this would represent that moment in time when you are with Jesus in glory, made perfect forever, the hope of every believer. The in-between, this space in between, which is sometimes referred to as the already, not yet. This is where the battle lies in our lives today. This life that we live day by day, moment by moment. This battle here in between the flesh versus the Spirit. And this is where every one of us is right now, today. The battle is happening every day. It's raging right now. And I think it's important that you understand this, that it is happening right this very moment. I am proclaiming the Word of God. And inside you, inside those of you who know and love Jesus, there will be a war. The Spirit will be testifying to you, the Word of God is true. He'll be pointing you to Jesus, your Savior. And at the same time, the flesh will be hammering away at you doubts and fears and concerns that would distract you from the Word of God. In your heart, those two opposing forces are colliding. In this space between perfect in glory and where we are now, this is the flesh that Paul refers to, the areas of our heart, our lives, our minds that still desire the things that are not of God. Here's what Paul just said in God's word. At war in you, at war in me right now are the Spirit and the flesh, and they are opposed to one another. The goal of the Spirit is not the goal of the flesh. Where the Spirit is taking you as a child of God is not where the flesh would take you. And I think that all of us who are followers of Jesus Christ would admit, as Andy did last week, that we so desire to make better progress in this battle. We are grieved over our sin, grieved over our failures, and we want to please our Savior. We are frustrated with how often we follow the desires of the flesh. And so this morning, I want to follow up on what Andy said with a very narrow focus. How do we win this battle? How do we win the tug of war that Andy talked to us about? And I think Paul has already made it clear. As we've studied our way through the book of Galatians, he has emphasized the gospel. God does not deal with his people based on their performance, but on his promise. We've seen that salvation is given. It is not earned. Paul has been so passionate about the gospel because it's under attack by these false teachers that are visiting the churches of Galatia. And he says this gospel message, it is so important that if anyone preaches a different gospel, even if it's an angel from heaven, Paul said they are to be accursed. They are to be condemned to hell. And so Paul's fighting against this false gospel of salvation by works. When people say what you do is what brings you into the kingdom, he's fighting against that. He's reminding us that what we do cannot make God love us more. It cannot earn us God's his favor. It cannot get us into his family. And we often have summarized that difference between Christianity and all the other religions of the world by those two simple words, do versus done. So it's not what we do, but what Jesus Christ has already done for us in his life and death and resurrection. On the cross, he cried out, "It is finished." Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone. And we have seen that throughout our study of Galatians. And so we want to remind you and emphasize, nothing you do can save you. But what you do absolutely does make a difference in this ongoing battle and the already yet not yet time between the flesh and the Spirit. Once you have the Spirit, once you've been made alive in Christ, once you are a Christian, the Bible repeatedly urges us to action, to work, to effort. Make every effort to be holy. Strive for holiness. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Devote yourself to prayer. This is the language that the Scriptures use. Now, in most of Paul's writings, as we see it here in the book of Galatians, he always begins with the gospel, the indicatives, the glorious truth of who God is and what he has done for us. And then what does he do? He unpacks that truth. He looks at the meaning of that truth and says, this is now how it makes a difference in your daily lives. He gives us the imperatives, the commands. And that's what he's doing here again in Galatians 5 and Galatians 6. And here in this passage, verse 16, we have a command, a call to action. It's a command that comes with a great promise. Paul writes, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Walk by the Spirit. That's the command. And the promise, if you do that, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So, beloved, we will win this battle, this war, as we walk by the Spirit. So what does that mean? What does it mean to walk by the Spirit? And how do we do that? If we want to please the Lord, to experience more progress in this battle, how do we walk by the Spirit? That's the question I want to answer this morning. And here's the main point, what I see, how I'll phrase it. To walk by the Spirit and not gratify the desire of the flesh, We need supernatural power and daily habits. We need supernatural power and daily habits. So first, we need supernatural power. Jesus himself said in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. Pastor Randy Pope, he's a pastor in our denomination. He once asked one of his mentors how he came to be such a godly man. And his mentor shared a story with him from when he was younger. And one of his mentors came to him and he asked him a question. He's like, do you do push-ups? And at that time, he's like, yeah, I do them occasionally. He's like, well, what's the most you could do? The absolute most. The highest number that you could do in one shot. And I don't remember the exact number he gave. Let's just say 50. Okay, so I could do 50. That's the most I can do. So then the man asked him, all right, so let's say you do that. Let's say you do 50 push-ups, the most, the absolute most you could do. You can do a single more. And as you finish that 50th push-up, I had the ability and the means, and I said to you, what if I give you $1 million? Can you do one more? And he thought, I think I probably could, right? $1 million, I think I could push one more out. So, you know, and then imagine that he did it. He was able to push one more out. I don't know how many of you have ever done push-ups or tried to, or any kind of exercise where you try to exceed your limit. But if you do that, you know, your arms are shaking and you finally get there. And imagine he did that, was able to get one more out. And then the guy said to him, okay, let's say you did that. Now imagine you've done one more than you could do. Now what if I said, if I gave you $5 million, could you do another one? And the guy was like, oh, man, I don't know. And he said, no, you couldn't. You really couldn't. Not if you'd try and you would just collapse. And he said, what we need to do, we need to come to the point in our lives where we realize, I can't. I can't. No matter how hard I try, no matter how much effort I make, I don't have the strength in me. No matter what the reward is held out to me, I just can't do it. I can't, but you can. God, I can't do it, but you can. Beloved, walking by the Spirit begins with that acknowledgement, that humility, that desperation for the help of Almighty God. We cannot do this in our own strength, in our own power, in our own will. Power, by our own wisdom, we need supernatural power. We need a strength that is outside of ourselves. If we're going to win this battle between the flesh and the Spirit, to walk by the Spirit. So many of us are trying to win the battle in our own flesh. But trying to win the battle against the flesh in our own strength, it's like telling your 2-year-old toddler to go out and mow the lawn after all the rain and you haven't been able to mow it and it's pretty long. And you tell the 2-year-old, why don't you go out and mow that 5-acre property in perfect rows, and then you give them that plastic toy lawnmower to do it with. It's not going to happen, is it? We need supernatural power to win this battle, to walk by the Spirit. And beloved, we have it. We have it through the third person of the triune God. The Spirit of Almighty God, the Holy Spirit living within us. There's an emphasis on the Spirit in this passage. Walk through it with me. Verse 16, walk by the Spirit. Verse 18, led by the Spirit. Verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 25, live by the Spirit. And then keep in step with the Spirit. This is the supernatural power that we need. And the Holy Spirit is the supernatural power that we have. Now listen to me. Not everyone has this power. Not everyone has the Holy Spirit. But if you are in Christ, if you are a believer in Jesus, a Christian, no matter how old you are, no matter how bad of a Christian you may think you are, you have the Holy Spirit. Every believer, without exception, has the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been given to every child of God. Andy mentioned this last week. We don't need some kind of extra baptism of the Spirit after conversion in order to receive the full power of the Spirit. No. Romans 8 says it so clearly. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. And then Paul says, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Christ. So if you don't have the Spirit, you do not know Christ. If you know Christ, you have the Spirit. Think about what this means. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the triune God, right now, in this moment, dwells in you. He's present among us. He is with you. Right now, as this battle rages within, the Spirit of Almighty God is in you, within you, to strengthen you. And one of the things this means, it's not the main point here, but one of the great comforts we have from this means, beloved, you are never alone. Never. You may be physically alone, as in there's no other person with you, no other human person with you, but you are never alone. God Almighty, by the Spirit within you, is with you at all times, and He is with you to strengthen you in the battle. You never fight this tug of war on your own, alone. Let me put it this way. Maybe this will help some of our younger members, some of our members who might be superhero fans. I guess it's not just younger. Maybe some of our older ones are superhero fans as well. I read an excellent book. It's called Union with Christ by Rankin Wilborn, also a pastor out on the West Coast. I encourage you to read that book. But he used this analogy. We're talking about this idea of walking by the Spirit. We need supernatural power. And through the Holy Spirit in us, we have the supernatural power that we need. So he says, think of it this way. Christ, by His Spirit in you, makes you more like Spider-Man than Batman. Now, just follow with me here for a moment. But if you're familiar with superheroes, you know Batman, Bruce Wayne. He's rich, right? He's wealthy. He's strong. He has a lot of cool gadgets, not just the Batcave, but the Batmobile, and then all those other gadgets that he comes up with. But where does his power come from? It comes from his external possessions, right? Something outside of himself. But Spider-Man is different. How did Spider-Man get his powers? Exactly. Yes. I hope you're all listening just as well. That's the wonderful sound of belonging in the Church of God. We're thankful for that. He got bit by a radioactive spider. And so his nature has been changed. He has a new power accessible to him, or we might say, within him. And something similar has happened to us. Now, let's not get crazy. We're not superheroes. It's not what I'm saying. But something alien to you, something from outside of you, has entered into you and has changed your nature. The Bible says you're a new creature in Christ. You've been made alive in Christ. You were dead, and now you are alive. You have that Spirit, that power within you. And God promised that this would happen. Throughout the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 36, we're told, I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. I will put my Spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. We cannot win the war against the flesh. We cannot obey God or love people or enjoy our freedom in Christ that Paul has been talking about. We cannot do any of that in our own strength. We need this supernatural power. We need God's help. And beloved, He gives it. And He's not stingy about it. He's not reluctant to give it. He has lavished it upon you. God works in all His children through His Spirit within them, and He gives us these new desires to please Him. So when we walk by the Spirit, we are not controlled by the desires of the flesh. Verse 17 tells us that the flesh produces one kind of desires, and the spirit produces another kind, and they're opposed to each other. That's the nature of the battle within us. These desires are opposed to each other. So walking by the Spirit, that's what we do when the desires produced by the Spirit are stronger than the desires produced by the flesh. And so that means that walking by the Spirit, it's not something that you and I do in order to get the Spirit's help. But instead, as the phrase implies, it's something that we do by the enablement of the Spirit, as the Spirit empowers us. And the Spirit begins this work at the level of our desires. He produces in us desires for God's ways that are stronger than our fleshly desires, and thereby He causes us to walk in God's ways. I mentioned Randy Pope earlier. He gave a great devotional down at General Assembly earlier this year in June when I was down there, and I've been thinking about it ever since, really, and it has kind of changed the way I think, the way I pray. I've been wanting to share some of it with you. He shared this illustration from that as well, and he was talking basically about this battle and how we walk in the Spirit. And he said one Sunday morning he arrived at church, and he saw one of his members in the parking lot having arrived, he rode his bike to church. And so he asked him, he's like, well, where did you come from? You know, he wanted to know, how far did you ride? And when he heard the answer, he was surprised because it was pretty far away. And he knew the route, and there were some significant hills along that route. It's like if you rode your bike here and came past my house to get here. People think that hill is pretty hard to get up. But, you know, imagine that. He's thinking, wow, that's a long way. And he said he didn't say this out loud, but he thought, I didn't think he could do that kind of thing. Just, you know, but he said, wow, I'm impressed that you were able to do that. And his member said, oh, don't be impressed. He's like, well, what do you mean? He said, well, look at my bike. And he said, looks like a bike to me. He said, well, look down at the pedals. Yeah? That's a motor. He said, look at the handlebars. Yeah, that there's a button there. That's a switch. He said, whenever I get to the hill, I just flick that switch, the motor comes on, and up I go. You know, it's not hard at all. But see, too many of us are trying to make it up those hills, trying to fight this battle against the flesh in our own strength, by our own willpower. And so we'll wake up in the morning. You'll wake up and you'll think, you know, you have this battle going on. And for some of us, it might be a habitual sin, something that we've been struggling with over and over and over again. And so we'll wake up and we'll think, today, I am not going to give in to that sin. Today, I'm going to be different. I'm going to be holy. I'm going to obey the Lord. I'm going to fight this with everything that I have. And we're trying to get up that hill. For your sake, oh God, I'm going to do it. And then we don't make it. We fall into sin and we say, we're so distraught. I'm sorry, Lord. How could I do that again? And so we think, well, next time, I'm going to try harder. Next time, I'm going to do better. And we're trying to get up that hill in our own strength, in our own power. And maybe we're making it a little bit farther. But we fall and that cycle continues over and over again. And before long, we give up. We say, I can't. I can't do it. I'm defeated. But beloved, you have a power source now in Christ, the Spirit of Almighty God, like that button, that motor on the bike. Too often we're trying to make it up the hill in our own strength, day by day, going throughout life, this daily battle without relying on the Holy Spirit, without appropriating the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Or maybe you think of it this way. You know, I think of it this way because I enjoy doing this. Imagine somebody calls me and says, hey, Troy, I have a tree down in my yard. Would you like to come get it? Yes, I would. Thank you. One of my favorite things to do is go cut up a tree. So imagine I get all my stuff together and I drive there. And once I get there, I have my chainsaw with me. And I realize, oh, man, the chainsaw blade is dull, really dull, and needs to be sharpened. I don't know if you've ever tried to cut wood with a dull chainsaw. It's very frustrating. And then not only that, but then I realize, oh, and I'm out of gas. So I can't even power it up. Now imagine, now I wouldn't do this. I'm not very smart in many ways, but I don't think I would do this. But imagine I'm sitting there and I think, well, I don't want to waste my time. I took all the time to come out here. I don't want to waste my time and drive to the gas station and fill it up. So I'm just going to take my chainsaw and I'll just start cutting it, you know, like a handsaw. What's going to happen? I'm going to get hot. I'm going to get tired. I'm going to get incredibly frustrated. And I might hurt myself. I might break the chainsaw. I'm not going to make progress. That's not how the chainsaw was designed to be used. I'm trying to do something that is impossible, that will not work. Beloved, you are not made to walk in your own strength. You're not able to do it. The life of a Christian is a life of humility. It's laying down pride. It's admitting our weakness. God has designed you to walk by the Spirit and the power of the Spirit, and He has given you everything you need to do it. But when was the last time you consciously appropriated the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? Now we might say, how do we do that? And I believe we do that by cultivating daily habits, by making use of the ordinary means of grace that God has graciously given to us. So yes, we need supernatural power, but also, second, we need daily habits. Paul says in verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And the Greek word for keeping in step comes from the military. It means to stay in formation. So some of you have had this experience, or maybe have seen it, soldiers lining up in ranks and files and marching in formation. Or maybe in this area you think of a marching band. You know, it's that time of year when school's about to start. Some children are excited, But you know, it's that time of year, and so sports teams are meeting for practice, and the marching bands are meeting for practice throughout the week in this area. Every morning, every evening, if you're close enough to Donegal High School, you can hear the music playing. But they're not only practicing music. They are learning to march in formation. Keeping in step takes discipline. It takes practice. So if you go to a high school football game this fall and you watch the halftime show where the marching band comes out, that doesn't just happen. It's not random. It is the result of hours and hours and hours of daily habits, daily practice. In the same way, keeping in step with the Spirit takes discipline, the cultivation of daily habits. You know, contrary to what so many Christians seem to believe, true spiritual growth does not come from some special experience of the Holy Spirit. But we want instant results, don't we? We live in this world of instant results, instant gratification. And so we think we can apply that to our spiritual lives. Just like that, make me holy. That's not how it works. Daily habits, over and over and over again. It's not some special experience of the Holy Spirit. Instead, it comes from walking with the Spirit every day, moment by moment, until finally keeping in step with the Spirit becomes a holy habit. J.I. Packer says it this way. This is one of the quotes in our worship guide on the reflection page this week. The Spirit works through means, through the objective means of grace, namely biblical truth, the Word of God, prayer, fellowship, our gathered worship, the sacraments, Lord's Supper. The Spirit shows His power in us by making these regular means effective to change us for the better and the wiser as we go along. And then he has this great phrase, habit forming is the Spirit's ordinary way of leading us on in holiness. Habit forming is His ordinary way of leading us on in holiness. He goes on to say, holiness by habit forming is not, and this is key, don't miss this, it's not self-sanctification by self-effort, but is simply a matter of understanding the Spirit's method and keeping in step with Him. This is how God has chosen to work. This is how God grows good spiritual fruit. The more we keep in step with the Holy Spirit through the Word, through sacraments, through prayer, the more fruitful we become as He bears that fruit in us, as we abide in Him. So maybe today is a good time for you to consider your daily habits. What daily habits are you cultivating in your life that are centered around the Word of God and prayer and fellowship with God's people, that are training you to keep in step with the Spirit? No, they don't have to be the same as mine. We don't impose our personal habits upon others, but there are ones that are given to us in God's Word. And if you don't have any, if you don't have any habits, if you don't give any time to the means of grace that God has given you, how in the world can you expect to walk by the Spirit and not gratify the desires of the flesh? You cannot do it. I would encourage you to take some time today. It'd be a wonderful activity to do on the Sabbath day, to reflect on the habits of your life and prayerfully consider, are there ones that you want to develop, that you've been thinking about developing, or maybe ones you need to develop? And ask the Lord to help you do so. Well, as your pastor, I want to encourage you to cultivate one simple daily habit. The habit, it's aptat. It's an acronym. It's not a real word, but still, it'll help you remember. Aptat. It comes from John Piper. You don't have to adopt this exact habit. Maybe your own version of it. But it's simply like this. It begins with A, acknowledge. Every day, perhaps multiple times throughout the day. Maybe you tie it to something that you do repeatedly throughout the day. Every time you eat, every time you get on your phone, every time you sit down. Acknowledge you can't, but God can. You can't, but God can. And maybe a simple prayer. Father, Jesus said, apart from Him, I can do nothing. I acknowledge that I can do nothing to please You without the constant enablement of Your Spirit. Please help me. Begin with that humble acknowledgement. And then P, pray. Pray the Word of God. Pray the promises of God. Father, fill me with Your Spirit. Help me to walk in Your ways. As you read the Scriptures, you might find things that you want to pray. Paul in 1 Thessalonians 3, Lord, make me increase and abound in love for one another and for You. Or in Hebrews 13, may You, the God of peace, equip me with everything good that I may do Your will. Work in me what is pleasing in Your sight. To acknowledge Your need. And then simple prayer, asking for God's help. T, trust. Have faith that God will do what He says He will do. He will complete the work that He has begun in you. Another way to say this is this. Consider what you know to be true as a child of God. Consider what you know to be true as a child of God. Trust what God says in His Word about you. In this passage, we are told in verse 24, you belong to Christ. Those who belong to Christ. Think about what that means. Trust the truth of what that means. Paul says it this way in Philippians 3, as he's talking about this desire to press on and know Christ. He says, not that I've already obtained this, or I'm already perfect. He knows he's in the already not yet, the in-between. He's in this battle. He says, I recognize this, but I press on effort, struggle, struggling with all the energy of Christ that powerfully works in him. I press on to make it my own. Why? Because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Beloved, that's a glorious truth. You belong to Christ. Jesus has made you His own. He has purchased you. He has redeemed you with His precious blood. We acknowledge in our service every Sunday that we are sinners. Your sin has made you guilty before the Holy God. And that guilt brought on a just punishment of eternal death and condemnation that you could not free yourself from. There's nothing you can do to take away your guilt, to atone for your sin. Nothing you can do to earn God's favor, make you righteous in His sight. But thanks be to God. He is merciful. He is kind to undeserving sinners. And He sent Jesus, His holy and righteous Son, to die on the cross, to bear your guilt, to suffer the punishment for your sin. And then He was raised to life again for your justification, so that His perfect righteousness could be credited to your account. And so, beloved, when you repent and you trust in Jesus, you are united to Christ in His death and His resurrection. So, beloved, consider what you know to be true. Trust that it is true. You belong to Christ. You have been united with Christ in His death. So when Christ died, you died. Before, you were united to sin, in your sinful nature. But when Christ died, you died. And that bond, that union was broken. And you've been freed. You're no longer a slave to sin. Consider that to be true. You've also been united with Christ in His resurrection. You've been raised with Christ. You're a new creature in Christ. You are now alive in Him. So sin no longer has dominion over you. All of this is in Romans chapter 6. And I would encourage you to memorize Romans chapter 6. If you haven't cultivated the daily habit of memorizing the Word of God, begin today. And that would be a great passage to set your mind on, to apply the truths of what we're looking at here in Galatians chapter 5. But Christ Jesus has made you His own. You've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Christ. You belong to Him. You're not your own, and you are now to glorify God in your body. Consider that every day, that this good news, this gospel is true, that God is now for you through His Son. He is with you through His Spirit to enable you to glorify Him in all that you think and say and do. So you acknowledge your need, you pray, you trust, or consider what you know to be true. And then A, the next letter in the acronym, act. Act. Do what you know is right. Obey. Make every effort to be holy. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But we need to keep this in mind. This is not step number one, right? This is not step number one. If this was step number one, then all of our actions would be works of the flesh, not fruit of the Spirit. It's only after we have asked for the Spirit's enablement, we've trusted in His promise and His power to work in us, that we now work with all our might, struggling according to His power that's at work within us. So we act. Or we might say back to Romans chapter 6, present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. Romans 6 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and the members of your body to God as instruments for righteousness. And this is what I've been praying since I heard Randy Pope share this devotional, and he walked us through this, how we are to present the members of our body to God as instruments for righteousness, day by day, moment by moment. So he said, just begin with this daily prayer. Lord, take the members of my body, my mind, what I think about. I want to present that to You as an instrument for righteousness. What I listen to, what I bring into my mind, what I think about and dwell on and meditate, I present that to You. My eyes, what I look at, what I see. My ears, what I hear. My mouth, what I say. May I speak the truth in love. May my words bring grace to those who hear. Set a guard over my lips, O Lord. May I present that to You as an instrument for righteousness. My feet, where I go. My hands, what I do. My heart, what I treasure, what I love. My affections. Present the members of your body to God as instruments for righteousness. So we act. We do, we obey, we present, we say no to sin, we say yes to God. We actively and intentionally oppose the desires of the flesh. And remember, the Holy Spirit works in us on this level of desire. So may I encourage you to cultivate daily your desire for God. It's within you, beloved. The Holy Spirit has been given to you. If you've been made alive, you do love Jesus. You long to love Him more, but you do love Him. And you want to please Him. He's given you that desire. And now, what can you do to fan that desire into a flame? How can you cultivate that desire? Your private prayer, meditating on the glory of Christ. Gathered worship here is one of the primary means, but it's not the only means. Throughout the week, are you taking time to cultivate that desire, that love for God? Maybe one way of thinking about it is thinking about what are the competing desires in your life? What are the things that are taking away from your love for God? What are the things of your life that are competing for your time, that you are willfully giving time to, that maybe is hindering your pursuit of God? What might that be for you? And ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that. Fill that time with habits that will reveal the glory of Christ to you and cultivate that desire. The final T in the aptat, acknowledge, pray, trust, act, and then T, thank. Thank God for any sign of His grace at work in your life, for any victory in the battle with the flesh. We can do nothing apart from Him. We cannot please God in any way apart from Him. And so we not only ask for His supernatural power to enable us to walk by the Spirit, but we thank Him when He does. We thank Him when He does. Beloved, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You have the supernatural power you need to win this battle. The Spirit of Almighty God Himself dwells with you and is within you, and He will never leave you. May He enable each one of us to cultivate the daily habits that we need to keep in step with the Spirit. May we acknowledge our constant need for God's help and pray for His enablement. May we trust in the Spirit's power, His promise to give that enablement. And then may we act and do what we know is right, always giving thanks to God the Father. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen.